Yes, Father, we give you praise. Thank you for the feast that you have prepared for us this evening. Thank you for what you are set to do in the lives of your people this evening. We thank you. Glory to God forever. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
All right, everybody, you're welcome once again to the School of Prayer. And we are going to settle down for a short while, and then we're going to rise up again to continue to pray. So before we start this study, can we just take our declaration as usual of understanding? One, two, let's go. Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation
in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word.
His word is
entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats quickly. Let's start with the book of Psalms number 24. Now, we're going to do a lot of praying and meditating in today's meeting, but then let me just explain what we are doing again. Jesus said, have salt in yourselves. Do you understand that? Remember what we said about salt? Salt is the reason why the earth is preserved. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. That means that if you are going to see progress or preservation, blessing upon the earth, it will be because of what? The presence of salt on the earth. It will be because of the presence of salt. That is, I said again and again last time, there's nothing you see on this earth that is not a gift of God. Last time people were protesting in Nigeria, I saw one, because they videoed a particular place, police cordoned off a road so that protesters couldn't come close. And this is Nigeria, okay? There's a lot of freedom. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just pointing it out. So the protesters were right in front of the police people like this, you know, just separated by a few meters. So one man was, of course, the reporter was videoing it. I was watching it on the news report. I was telling the police people that they should leave the road, let them go where they want to go. And I was giving a long lecture to the policemen that, look, we're all Nigerians. This uniform, you will soon remove it. But those ones, the answer. They didn't answer him. They just mounted their, what do you call it? They stood there with their weapons of prevention of, you know, so they had their batons, their shields, their tear gas that just don't cross this line. So they didn't, in fact, as I could see the policemen smiling behind their masks. Man was giving them a long lecture. That's for your good when we are doing all of this. Whatever good will come out of it will affect all of us. He was giving a long lecture. And I was feeling very bad. You know, I was feeling bad. Say, what you are looking for, this is not how you will get it. This is not how you will get it. You are not going to change your nation by this one you are doing. If anybody ever tells you it worked somewhere else, first go and point and show us where it worked. But even they told you it worked, there is pure coincidence. Sometimes the time to favor Zion has come. And everything you do around that time will seem to be working. Please don't ever forget it. There's nothing you experience or you desire that's not a gift from God. And the negative things are judgments from God. People will say it's Satan. I say, no, listen, let's get Satan's position clear. He enforces through petitioning before the judge of the earth those things. That is, if you want something bad to happen, he will gather, and we'll see that in a moment, all right? I think from Psalm 26 or so. He will gather the necessary petitions. Can I use that expression? That is, that thing you bring before the judge. Evidence, thank you. Why was I forgetting that? He will gather the necessary evidence and use it to petition and say, there should be no peace here. And God will say, why? And he will give those things. And God will say, all right, take away peace. Those who keep on saying that God doesn't do those negative things, they don't understand his job as a judge. His position as a judge. He does it. Please never forget it. And you know, I keep on going over it because I see some teachings in the body of Christ that try to emphasize to us that God never does that. Who ordered the death of all the Amalekites? Was it the devil? I mean, you know, sometimes you see some things we say, wonder, did we read our Bible? It was God that gave a direct commandment. Go to the Amalekites and kill all of them. I'm not saying it's a nice thing, but at least we know who decreed it. Who gave that order? Was the devil anywhere in this picture at this point? No. So when somebody starts telling you that, you see, you know, like one of our popular preachers these days, trying to emphasize that it's not like somebody told Jonathan that God, Jonathan said, God kills and makes alive. As we read from 1 Samuel chapter 2, he said Hannah was mistaken. Because Hannah was the one that prophesied that thing. You've not heard that one. He said, look at this, a woman that spoke, not God. When God ordered the death of everyone in Jericho, was it the devil that ordered it? There are some things that are so clear, just that we like to avoid them. We pretend as if they are not in scripture. They are there. And of course, the one that is incontrovertible, all these ones are, of course, you can't argue about them. But one that we all know is the death of everyone on the earth minus Noah and his household. Again, the devil didn't do it. He doesn't have that power. So many times there's disorder in the environment. It's a decree from God. Why? It's called judgment for iniquity. God judges sin. He can say in this place there will be no peace. The Bible tells us that he turns the heart of the Egyptian against his brother. We know clearly God can say, and he said, no, we like to use the word allow. He said, I will not put upon you the diseases that I put on the Egyptians. That's what he said. We are the ones that found a way to find out that he didn't put it, he only allowed it. Okay, in that case, I will not allow on you the diseases I allowed on the Egyptians. And they bless. So he's just an allowing God. He doesn't do anything. I allowed blessing on you. So where did the blessing come from? Please, that manipulation of scripture is unnecessary. He commanded calamity upon the Egyptian. Did you not see there was Moses that ignited those things? Moses will say, I will turn your river to blood. God said to Moses, you'll be a God unto them. So Moses will go, turn their river to blood. Take, which is not allowing this now? Okay, he allowed Moses. All right. I'm sorry to say it. Some of those doctrines are unnecessary. I'm not angry with anybody. They're just not necessary. He's a judge. And if he's a judge, he has to rule fairly. He said himself that it is woe to the prophet that says it will be well with the wicked. So, as a judge also, he cannot decree wellness on the wicked. He has to listen to this, decree calamity on wickedness and the people that do wickedly. You know, if you don't preach the truth, people won't believe it. Let me tell you something. You have to preach God until people will run and say, what must we do to be saved? They say, preach a loving God. Let me tell you something, how to preach a loving God. Let me ask you a simple question. Please, I've left my message, but we'll go back in a moment. Let's talk about some things, all right, about life. How do you preach a loving father? The father that never corrects you. My last birthday, my little boy Victory put my picture on the status and said, this is the man that drove lying away from my mouth with his cane. Happy birthday, daddy. Yeah, that's what he did. Put on the status. See, if I don't lie today, see. Yeah, so now this man. And I know how he did it. He applied the rod. Is that a loving father or a wicked father?
A loving father.
When we're children, there's this drama we used to watch. Somebody wrote a play, all right? So people acted it and all of that. About this boy who was stealing. Then one day he went and did armed robbery and then maybe he killed somebody. Anyway, they caught him and then he was sentenced to death. He now said, okay, do you have anything to say before you are taken away? He said, I want to whisper something to my mother. So they called the mother. The mother came and he collected the ear in his mouth and bit off her ear. Clenched his teeth on them. So they had to struggle to free the woman. By that time, he had produced an irreparable damage. I don't know whether that really happened, but we used to rehear. So why did you do it? He said, this is the reason why I'm a thief. That my mother is the reason why I'm a thief. As a little boy, I bring things home. She will collect them without asking where they get them from. And hide them. And protect me. So I became hardened in my ways. Now I've been sentenced to death. It's her fault. It's not 100% accurate, but you get the point. So the Bible now summarizes for us. If a father loves his son, it is known by what? Chastisement. In fact, he had to say to them that if you are without chastisement, you are bastards. That's the literal word he used. So you don't preach a loving God by the fact that he never hurts anybody. No. The Bible says this was how God showed his love for the world. He gave his only begotten son. That John 3:16 is often misread. The word so there does not mean magnitude. It is method. So you read some translations like God's word. They will use the proper English, that's our English people, preposition or, what does how fall into? Those of you who know English. And but you're not understanding. There's how, who, eh? They use the proper, this, are you getting my point? They won't say so, they say how. So this was how God loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. If I want to show my love for you, say, how did you show your love for this, your brother? I say, I paid his hospital bills. I paid his semester fees. I paid his house rent. Do you get my point? Love, that's John 3:16. Please go and read it. I'm not manufacturing it. Some of us said, for God so, wow, he so loved the world. Wow, so magnificent. Why is English confusing me these days? What's the magnitude? That word for magnitude, that adjective for big. Anyway, so menomous, so huge, so gangantuan was his love. That's always a soul. So that's how we interpret it. Oh, this love is so plenty. This was how God, for God so loved the world. That was not what he said. What he said is that this was how. Do you follow my point? That word so, you know, it's also used like that in English. Method. How did he love the world? He paid for their sins through the death of his only begotten son. So how do you preach the love of God to people? The soul that sins, it shall die. However, he doesn't have to die if he believes. God will forgive. Why? He paid. Not that God, I've heard people say it. There's one man, I love him, but I can't listen to his messages. Because he keeps on insisting God doesn't know how to punish people. He said, God doesn't take anything from you. If something dies in your life, it's not God. If you lose something, it's not God. It's the devil. I said, helpless God, watching why the devil is doing all these things. Abba. And they have a song in Western Nigeria. So one of these musicians sang it those days. He said, if it's so, he wasn't speaking from church background, but he was just talking normally. Actually, it's one of those, you know what the Bible calls a dirge? We sang, you know, song, he didn't dance. We sang a dirge. It's one of those things they sing when something terrible has happened. They say it in Western Nigeria. He said that we should have been worshipping death and not the gods. Why? They say, where were the gods when death was taking somebody away? So they sing it at a graveside. They sing it in a funeral, you know, procession. That we should have been worshipping death. Maybe he would have had mercy on us. We worship the gods, they could not deliver us from death. So if God was just a allower and disallower, that we should worship the devil. He has more power than him. Except that it's not so. When it came to the life of Job, we saw what God did. He told Satan, Now, go and I gave you his goods. Go and take them, but don't touch him. So I give them into your hands. So until God gave, Satan could not take. And they kept on drawing lines and boundaries. Then Satan came one time and said, oh, it's because it's only money he lost and children. Him himself won't call if you touch him. God said, all right, I give you his health. And he told him, you can't kill him. And that was the boundary. You have to understand, no, in the universe, you can't go against God. If you go against God, you are doomed. Once God said that to Satan, it put a boundary there. Satan could not cross it. Even if he wanted to, it wouldn't work. You can't take a life that God has not decreed death concerning. It's not possible. So please, let's understand these things. All right? Some people try to paint God as a nice, soft. No. He's a loving father. But he's also a just judge. So sometimes he decrees what is not good. That is, we think, doesn't feel good. He decrees it. And please, it's all over the scriptures. Don't take my word for it. Just take your Bible and read. He said, they will gather. What will I do? I will scatter it. He said, I called for a famine. He was the one that did it. Why? He said, look at my house. It's left desolate. While each one of you is running to his own panel houses. So I shut the rain off. I told you I love Amos. Amos said, I saw the Lord preparing a swarm of locusts. It was in a vision. Right after the king's portion of the harvest had been taken. And then when the locusts had eaten everything, that was in the vision. I said, Lord, please stop. He said, Israel would not be able to stand this. She's so small. And God said, all right, let's leave that. Then he saw him preparing fire. He said, please stop. It was God. And God himself said, I'm about to invent calamity against these people. One problem with many of our wrong doctrines in that area, we don't mean bad, just inaccurate, is that people face the devil when they should be begging for mercy. Devil, I rebuke you. Devil say, I was never there. When did I go there? Me that was hiding. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I just wanted to add that one to it, all right? But the first thing I was bringing up is that the good also, let's focus on that, is a gift. It's a gift. You can protest and be angry with your leaders forever until God, you know what God said, Steve? He said, no matter how well they do, they will plan the, you know, this is our big refinery that we are bragging over. You know the one I'm talking about. I don't know about you. I pray about it. Because it's nothing. I don't know where I get my point. If an angel blows on it, it will burn to the ground. And you'll not be able to repair it. And you don't want him to do it. Don't think we have not found the solution. When I saw the... No, you see analysis all the time. Of how come all these African nations... Initially, it was cocoa, coffee, agricultural produce and all of that, that they were producing and were only exporting. Which meant that where they could have made, okay, let's say you produce and produce at the cost of, let's use international money, a dollar, and you sell for $2 and you made a dollar. Alright? The thing goes to Switzerland. They invest $3 to process it and sell it for $10. They bought from you for a dollar, $3 to process, and sold for how much? $10. So you made a dollar when they are making six. Yeah, buy for one, process for three, when they are making six. Now this is the painful part. They sell it back to you. So you need to give them six units of something to get one unit of the product from that thing back. It's one of the methods of poverty. Please let me not start talking about world, economics and sociology and stuff like that now. But you see, it started with what? Cocoa, you know, agricultural products, even corn, all kinds of things. I did not know that spirit carried even down to crude oil. One man estimated that we are losing $1,000 per barrel. Now, I don't think it's accurate. What it meant is that refine that thing, you will see the cost. What do you get from it? So you sell it at a high price, $100 a barrel. Then somebody else takes it, refines it. When it brings out everything that's inside it, I don't know how many dollars it's getting. And the whole of Africa almost. Angola produces a lot of oil. Many countries producing this thing. But they are in poverty. Why? It's called value added. That is, they couldn't add value. Can you believe? Till now. I was a child when a Jakarta steel rolling mill was built. Should be up to 40 years now that that thing was built. It has never worked. People have been angry with leaders. Leaders, you want to hear the truth? It's a spirit. So some of these protesters, and that's how I began it, also, not just them, we are the reason why things don't work. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Why? Because we incur judgment. By our activities, we bring forth wrath. And when God decrees judgment, you can't stop it. You have to beg Him to stop it. Paul, Jesus spoke to Paul, say, you are kicking against the goads or the pricks. You enjoy yourself trying to stop what God is doing. Sometimes He's doing judgment. What I'm emphasizing this is that we must know how to provoke mercy. We must know how to provoke mercy. All the criticisms, anger, and all of those are not the things that will bring good. Good is a gift. He said, there is none good but God. Like I said last time, I won't say that extensively again. Let me get again to what I want to say today. I said, they don't pray in this place. I said, leave those people alone. Sometimes he said, you run against men. You are running against horses. There are different people you are running against. You don't know who prayed for the person you are saying does not pray. Somebody prayed for him. Somebody prayed for him. The household of David had to survive one way or the other because they must always have the seed to put on the throne. If God has to force them into righteousness so He will bless them to fulfill the promise He made to David, He will do it. The only thing your great-grandfather left for you is curses. Idolatry. And go and read what God said in Exodus chapter 34. He said unto the children's children, do you get my point? He said He will not leave the guilty unpunished. So you see children's children who only have the curse of idolatry working in their life. And they're now looking at somebody who's the descendant of David and say he doesn't pray. And God said, at least David left something for him. It's like you see a billionaire's son say it doesn't work, so he won't walk. That man is not walking. He has everything. Why you say I should walk? Ha. They say, hey, what? What did you say? I should have a nice car like him. I should have a fine house. I should have money to spend. After all, he doesn't walk. That is true. But you know, his father left something for him. Your father didn't leave anything for you. So if you don't walk, you know what? Hunger will teach you a lesson. Just be angry for nothing. Now, this is a physical, but there also are spiritual components to this thing we're explaining. So please, like I said, I don't want to preach it again. You don't know why somebody else is, in quote, prospering. Leave it. Don't ever go around bragging. They don't pray in Japan. They don't pray in Europe. Sometimes they have prayed before. I don't know whether I get my point. Somebody has prayed for them. Somebody has activated a blessing. Now, let me give you an example. You know the land that God kicked the people out of? was the land that was dry and empty. That he took the Jebusite, the Amorite, the Hittite, what they call the promised land, was a dry land that was useless. True or false? What kind of land was it? No, that's the way the Bible calls it. What kind of land? A good land. You forgot it. It's a good land. It was a good land. Flowing with milk and with honey. When the Israelites saw the produce in the land. My God. Grapes are used. This one man is selling, putting 10 and selling hold up for you. Do you see it carrying like this in a tray? One bunch, two men had to carry. Why? And even there, were they praying? No, I said, were they praying? Were they worshiping? They were wicked and serving false gods. But God kept the land fertile for his own people. So he left those people till the land, make it good. I will bless it. I'm bringing some people. So, leave all this, who prayed, who doesn't pray. You don't know what is going on. Please, just leave that. I want you to just stop because people bring these arguments against us all the time. They bring it all the time. But those people, you know what happened to them? They were wiped out. Out of that good land, God destroyed them with a sword, with pestilence, with wild beasts. He used those three things to wipe them out. And told the Israelites, I won't do it all in one day. As we expand, I'll do the next phase. Please bear this in mind. All right? So what we need to do as people of God is learn how to activate good from the hand of God. That's what I'm making. So he said, you want good in your land? The land needs salt. It needs what? Salt. We saw it last time. Salt has two uses. It's not that good for the land, for the manure pile. Two things. Fertilize the land and prevent decay. We read that from Luke. So we know that what God said we should do on this earth is to fertilize, so to speak, the land and prevent decay. It's a spiritual state. That is when we are there. It's not about whether you have prayed or you have not prayed. Prayer is good. I'm not saying prayer is not good. Like I said last time, Sodom and Gomorrah, all right? Was going to be spared by for the sake of 10. Not because the 10 were praying, but because they were enough, according to the intercession or the arrangement between Abraham and God, to hold the land. Please bear that in mind. So salt is just meant to be present. And we said, what is the duty we have as salt? Keep yourself what? Pure. Because if you've lost your savour, you've lost your saltness or saltiness, it's no longer useful. You're no longer useful. So we said, make sure you can be counted. We now said it is not within us by ourselves to do these things. And we began it by explaining that that is what prayer does. It's our school of prayer. Prayer is often misused when we focus the prayer on the land itself rather than the salt. Yes, as people of God, part of our duty is to do what? Pray for the land. All right, intercede. God told us that. We saw that clearly in Jeremiah chapter 29. We entreat the Lord for the land's sake. But please, if you are going to entreat the Lord, are you getting my point? You must be somebody the Lord listens to. God doesn't listen to everybody. Some people's prayers are an abomination to him. Say, who's talking? Shut the door. I don't want to hear. Don't let somebody provoke me to anger. Remember, I'm praying. God said, hey, close the door. Close the door. I don't want to hear something that will just annoy me now. And not start judging people. So it's not everybody he listens to. That God listens to you is described by one word, righteousness. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted for him as what? Righteousness. Righteousness means God listens to you. That's one of the ways you can explain what righteousness is. So as salt, therefore, we must keep our salt pure. We must. We must. We must. Now, I started today by saying something. This was just a review of what we did last time. Now, Christians, let's bear this in mind. There's something we do sometimes. Sometimes we tell ourselves that because we are born again, we don't have any problem. Some of the teachings we give ourselves is that your spirit is pure. And you know it's not a lie. There's only one problem. It can be defiled. The pure spirit that God has given you can be defiled. How do we know? Paul taught us like that. Cleanse yourself of what? All defilement of flesh and spirit. So that is clear. As the Lord revealed it to him, he taught it to us. It can be defiled. So we have a duty to remove every defilement. If we are defiled, Paul said, Jesus said, make sure you have salt in yourselves. If we are defiled, the land is automatically defiled. And when the land is defiled, the Bible says it vomits up what? The inhabitants. Back to our protesters that I spoke to at the beginning. Sometimes God is looking and says, see that one shouting in front is number one defiler. Are you getting my point? He's protesting against judgment, but he's a cause of judgment. Assuming that God didn't reveal anything to Joshua. And Achan did not go to battle. You know, he would have been talking about how ineffective a general Joshua was, or whoever he sent, when they went to Ai. They would have interviewed him on Arise. AIT. Kakaki. He'll be there on Channel News at 10. What do you have to say about the battle in Ai? See, the military academy is losing its grip. The training is no longer what it used to be. And this is Achan talking. How can we go to battle? Ai, a small city. And we can't win. No. This government, something has to change because we don't understand. Who's the current commandant of the military academy? Who commanded that battle? And you're sitting down there, you're looking. And who's talking? Achan. When I used to be in the, when we went to Jericho, I know what we did. We didn't even have to, all we did was to circle. We circled. And then we gave a loud shout. Each man went in front of him. And I don't understand. Why didn't they circle I? Why did they go in that? Now this is Achan talking, no? This is the painful. That's what is paining me. This interview I'm watching right now is paining me that it's Achan they are interviewing. I won't mention names. I was watching one guy the other day. When I checked his marriage history, I said, it's people like you that are spoiling this country. But yeah, you're one in front, talking and criticizing the government. Because the government's actions are not the cause of the problems. They're a consequence of judgment if it doesn't work. I hope you're getting my point. What we experience in the land, a number of things. Of course, one of them, apart from the intercession of the saints of God, is the judgment for the iniquity committed in the land. Now, so what we are saying is that for us, now let me say this again. Jesus said, light is good. It's good for the body to be full of light. All right? So he said, if your eye is single or clear, your whole body will be full of what? Light. He said, but if your eye is defiled, is corrupted, he said, your body will be full of darkness. He now said, this is where I'm going to. If the light that is in you is darkness, you know what that means? The eye is letting darkness in. Rather than light. So where light is supposed to be is full of that active force called darkness. See, how great is that darkness? What am I trying to say? If the church is the one infusing judgment and darkness into the land, so it's worse than if it was unbelievers doing it. I hope you're getting my point. Let me go a bit prophetic. See, this country has a destiny. Now, that's just the way it is. America had a destiny. All right? They were not built by human energy or strength. At the point in time, God said, I want to do something. Gather people for me from all over the world. So they went to Europe and took people. Columbus went there. At the point in time, people came from different parts of Europe. From England, they went for different reasons. They said, okay, white people are well represented. Find me black people. They took them there as slaves. People kept on coming from different places. If what I have as information is correct, they almost spoke German as the lingua franca of the country. There were so many people from Germany. God gathered people from everywhere. From every country, every race, he put them there. By himself, created them. I mean, you know what is Texas now used to be part of Mexico. People came from down. They came from everywhere. At the end of the day, they created a country. And God knew what he was doing. And listen, if that country, one man said it was created to preserve natural Israel, I don't believe that. If that is true, it's one of the side effects. You have to understand what God is doing on the earth is one word. What is the word? Christ. And if they will neglect, see, Please, let me talk small politics. One of the best presidents they've had in recent times is Donald Trump. Is he a crazy guy? Maybe. Is there any other person normal there? Banky, why do you call him one of the best presidents? Well, in my life, when I was old enough to observe world events and read news by myself and follow things. Okay, let me start from the days of George Bush. I didn't know much, all right? Even though I knew about him, I was in school. All right, we just left school when he lost the re-election to Bill Clinton. Clinton, after him, George Bush Jr. After him, George Bush Jr., Barack Obama. Have you? I hope I'm correct. Yes. Uh-huh. After Barack Obama, 4 years of Donald Trump. All right, now we have Joe Biden. It's about his third year, now going to the fourth year. 3.5 years passed. I've been watching them. I have not seen one person, defend Christ like Donald Trump. I've not seen one. You can insult him from now to tomorrow. I have not seen one. In all these ones I've collected for you, Bill Clinton campaigned openly to promote homosexual agenda. It was not hidden. He needed it to collect votes. George Bush said he was a Christian. I don't know much. The only thing I remember about him was that he decided that Iraq was of the devil. I don't believe him, but all right, he did what he did. Barack Obama has no respect for God, as far as I know. He used to go to church because of, this is my own opinion, you can disagree with it. He used to go to church because of his Muslim heritage. His father was a Muslim. So he needed to wash his image. And many of us, we bought it. Even me. During his tenure, everything Christian was wiped out as much as possible, including Merry Christmas. Under his watch, you have to understand that the LGBT agenda is satanic. It's Satan. It's Satan working. Under his watch in America, men could marry men. He was the one that pushed that. He saw he had no compunction with killing an unborn child at any point in time. You are uncomfortable with the presence of the child in your life, and he pushed it. But guess what? He was a very decent guy. No scandals, money, women, bad talk, not him. Pure. Look, that guy was decent. Till now, they use him to mock Donald Trump. I watched it, I don't know whether it was live, but at least shortly after it happened, a few hours after it happened, when they killed Osama bin Laden. It was under his voice they finally got Osama bin Laden. He had bombed, of course, he had brought down the World Trade Center during George Bush's time. They finally got him after many years under Obama. And I remember he walked up nicely to the place where he was going to speak. Fellow Americans, I want to tell you, very nice that a few hours ago, I gave the order and this and this and this and they killed. And we just spoke very nicely how they took out Osama bin Laden. Good words. And everybody, his rating went through the heavens. Of course, they killed him and threw the body into the ocean. They call it burying in the sea. They didn't want to bring the body back to America. Many reasons why. Now, there's another guy who came after. Abu Bakr. What is his name again? Al-Baghdadi. Donald Trump got that one. And when he was going to make his own speech, he came up. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is dead. He lived like a dog. He died like a dog. There was a lot of shooting and blowing everything. At the end, he was dead. Oh my God. You see, when they compared it to a, you'll be embarrassed for Donald Trump. What does he care? That's the kind of human being you're dealing with. Very crude. Who am I talking about him? Our own president went to White House. He asked him, I heard you are persecuting Christians. Why? Now, why am I talking about all of these things I'm saying? That is why I told you. As far as I'm concerned, what's my reason? I believe that the nation was built. You have to understand the way God works. It was built for the cause of the gospel. At the point in time, they were the number one gospel financing nation on the earth. I don't know about now, but at the point in time, they were. And those things are not a joke. They sent missionaries everywhere, sent money everywhere. God used them to ignite revivals in different places. That's the real work God called them to do. It's the reason why I called this man the best president they've had in my own adult lifetime. It's not about what else he does. It's about a man who stood up and said, if it's the cause of Christ, I will defend it. People say he was just pretending. That's your problem. But we saw the effect. I heard him say it. Merry Christmas. Yeah, we are reintroducing that in the White House. Yes, you know the way he talks. Yes, come back to the White House. It is Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays. It's Christmas. We're going to say it's Christmas. We're going to celebrate. That's what he did. And he says, just play. And he say, hey, I want to take a picture with my Bible in front of a church. And he went to carry his Bible and post. Of course, CNN said, they injured protesters. Oga came to take photo in front of a church with his Bible. If you are standing in his way, you are the devil. You can look, this is not my approval on everything. That one man supports him. Do you know why he supports him? He said, no human being in the history of America has been that investigated. That if they really had things against him, it should be flown everywhere. The things they are picking, it's clear they don't have anything. Do I support him in everything he does? No. But go and check it. It is the zeal for the Lord that's most important. What did Jehu say? Come into the chariot. Come and see my zeal for the Lord. The zeal for your house has consumed me. What did David say? I will not give myself rest until I've made a place for the Lord. Every nation has a purpose. Why did I talk about that? This one you are in has a purpose too. Yes, this one you are in has a purpose. And it's very closely related to the one I just described. It's also the gospel that we are talking about. If any church in this nation wants to prosper and be established for a long time, they should go and check how well they are pushing the gospel of Jesus. Seriously. It's not the cathedrals you are building. I'm talking about pushing the gospel of Jesus. And pushing the gospel of Jesus is very important for us preachers. There is a pure gospel we are preaching. When I say pastors gather one, a lot of time be doing business seminar. I'm not saying it's bad, but just be careful. Who was I listening to yesterday? And I was talking about describing. Okay, was it yesterday or this morning? Describing Jesus correctly. There anyone that does not acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God is a cult. No matter the name they call. That is, you know, some people will tell you that Jesus is what they call Saint Michael. Angel Michael. Yeah, he said they're a cult. They're introducing evil spirits into your life. He was trying to explain. Some people say they are the Church of Jesus Christ of sometime saints. Are you getting my point? That Jesus is not the real one. The Jesus they preach is not according to scripture. And they are false. I don't have a shadow of doubt in my mind that the reason why this nation is here. Please, let nobody come and be deceiving you. White man came to deceive us. No, God used them to send salvation. God used them to bring salvation. So let's just get that one clear. So every nation has its purpose. That's the point I'm making. Now, that land must not be defiled. That's where I'm going. If it's going to be, remember I said God always gives himself a reason to keep a place. When to keep the earth, he gave Noah as a reason for himself. Noah walked with him. Noah made him promise things. That's what God does. So Jesus could come. He made promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, so that Jesus could be born where he was born. Prophetic words went forth. The name Bethlehem was written in scriptures. Because all of that arrangement was so that the Son of God would be born. So he said, for every nation on this earth, I give myself a reason to preserve them for my purpose. What is the reason? Salt. Salt. So what is their duty? Keep your salt. How? Pure. Please, people of God. God allows this. There's a contest in the realm of the spirit. Was it? Yeah, Apostle was praying earlier. But there was something you were saying when you were praying at the beginning about temptations, I think. Am I mixing things up? But that temptations come, that you have to be devoted to righteousness and not allow. Yes, you were the one leading prayer just now. No. You have to be devoted to righteousness and not allow yourself to be tempted into iniquity. Because that is what Satan wants to do. Unless I'm mixing up with a prayer you prayed yesterday. Are you getting my point? Yeah, it's very important you understand this. Trials in life. And listen, when God wants to give you right to talk, the right to talk with power, you earn it in the furnace of affliction. Do you get my point? You earn it in the furnace of affliction. You can be praying. God says, okay, is he a true son? Say yes. Let him pass through this thing now. Jesus said, let us sit on your left and your right. Jesus said, left and right. Boys, do you know that the power you are talking about? It's okay. Can you drink what it takes to give somebody that kind of power? They say we can't drink. Say, good, go and drink. Yes. You want the power? God chooses people in the furnace of affliction. That is where you've been purified. Trials and temptations come to purify you. So anytime there's trial, there's temptation, just know what is going on. Just know what is going on. All forms of affliction, just know what is going on. Any form of affliction you face, just know what is going on. So that salt is also tested. Because God does not brag on it until he has had the opportunity. And that is why people say, God knew Adam will eat. Did God not know everything? Say, he did. Or he does. Why did he put the tree of knowledge of good and evil for Adam and Eve to be tempted by? Because except they are tempted, they are not useful. It's only after they've been tempted and they stood, all right? If they stand in the midst of temptation and refuse to budge or refuse to follow Satan, that is when they become who he created them to be. Not when there's nothing. And he said, I've chosen you in the furnace of affliction. It's how somebody is called the word of his perseverance. It's how somebody holds on to the word of truth in the midst of affliction and trials and temptations. That God said, this one is good enough for me. If you are never tempted to sin, there's no way of saying you're a righteous person. No, there's no way. There's no way. There's no way. Even Jesus had to be tempted in every way as we have been tempted. And I'm going to talk about it again today. How did he keep his salt pure? So temptations occur. God uses it to sift out the chaff from the real grain, from the wheat, the real substance. He purifies them in the furnace of affliction. That's just the way it is. And then, of course, second thing he does is to really make them worthy of the power that he will commit into their hands. I hope you're getting my point here. The nation you are in has a destiny. Please, again, let me say this. If you see kidnapping, now, please, if you have spiritual eyes, you look at what's been going on in this nation. And not only this nation, it's all over the place, okay? But we are in this one, all right? So anybody listening to this can apply to their country. But there's nothing I'm seeing in this country that's not in the scripture. In the Bible, there's none. And like I said last time, anytime you see something, God is calling our attention. What did I say? Yeah, if there's no peace to him that goes out and him that comes in, check it. If the staff of bread is broken, please stop blaming government. They are not the problem. They are helpless. Without the intercession and supplication of the saints on their behalf, they are helpless. What naira can buy now is less than half of what it could buy 3 years, 4 years ago. It's called demand and supply. It's not about naira, it's about what is available. Did you catch what I said?
Yes, sir.
Why is the price of garri up? Because there's less garri now than there was before. Why is tomato more expensive? See, people don't understand. There are I thank God for one of the things government is doing now. Recently, last week or 2 weeks ago, no, last week, I read about it, that now one of the jobs that they are giving to the military now is to defend farmlands. So they are deploying battalions of soldiers just to go and guard farmlands, because where is food expensive? People are not going to the farms. One of my brothers told me then, I think he used to serve him, I don't know whether he served in Borno or something. He was into, you know, beans. He would ship beans in truckloads down south to come and sell. When all that Boko Haram crisis started, all that ended. The price of beans had to go up. Small aside, those of you who say divide this country, please shut your mouth. Most of the food you eat is grown up to where you don't like. How do you farm? Yam and chicken. Small rice here. There are some states in northern Nigeria. They farm rice. All of you can't eat it finish. One state. Please, let's talk. Those of us who are in the dot in the circle, eh? Let's talk to ourselves. All of our states put together, we fit Niger, and there's still space for Akwa Ibom. And that, I'm not exaggerating. Yeah. All the Southeasters, they put them together. They will shoot them inside Niger. And Niger will say that, Akwa Ibom, if they find space, come enter here. There's no exaggeration of what I've said. So if those men want to farm rice, all the rice in Anambra and Ebonyi, they can do it on a small portion. And they can. If God grants us peace, they can. So please, stop feeling too important with yourself. Stop feeling too important. Let's stop feeling. Do you get my point? God is blessing us. I hope you get my point. God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. There's a lot of blessing in this land that he has given you and I. We just have a duty as Christians to preserve the land. And the most important thing is not government, looking at government. The most important thing is for us to give God a reason. Remember, salt is the reason. Do you remember that? It's to give God the reason to pour a blessing. There are these people they call the Edomites. God says, I'm angry with them. Let them do whatever I want to do, whatever it is they want to do. It won't work. So if you build, I will break it. How do I see some of the advancements we see in this our nation? I pray. I don't gloat. I pray. That the one portion of the refinery in Ekpe caught fire. I don't know how many of you read that time. I didn't find it funny. Personally, as far as I was saying, it was testing. Satanic test. Do you get my point? Satan's testing. I said, God, thus far and no further. Please, let me teach you Christians. Pray. What did I say?
Pray.
Don't leave those things light like that. Pray. And for the first time, this nation that's ours, that God gave to us to preserve for his purpose, has entered the league of those who export refined products for the first time. Now, 9 refineries are at the risk of shutdown in Europe. That one you are seeing there is 50% bigger than the biggest in Europe. What I'm quoting for you is from Financial Times of London. They are telling people that are at risk. So when you see things, look, some of these things people don't understand. I beg in the name of, don't join those newspaper commentators and protesters. Go to where you belong. Pray. Say, God, this thing is my own. I'm asking you. Did they dash you a dollar? No. But if the land is yours, to claim for God, to pronounce peace upon it, so that the will of God can be done in it, you have a job to do. I like the fact that, was it last Saturday? Yeah, the other Saturday, I think. When we prayed about those children that were kidnapped. I was so happy the way God blessed us. They collected all of them on hand, killed the head of the kidnapped gang, and packed 2 of them and carried them to Abuja to lock them up. I said, God, you will do more like this for us.
Amen.
He broke that gang. Me, I don't see this. Yes, thank God for the life of DSS. Because everybody was on the phone. Everybody was there. IG, they moved guys with all kind of information. It was fight. In the process, they gunned down the guy leading the team. That's the kidnappers. I picked 2 of them. All the children, bam, unharmed. So, of course, newspaper now showing the press now showing them everywhere, you know. Please don't be angry, it's politics. So, you know, we want to thank God for the life of our president, it's just politics. It didn't come to a place. See, that's how the job is. For everybody that was involved, they are holding office at his pleasure. That's the law. So that's why if you don't give him credit, you sack yourself. But from the liturgies we heard, things went down. This is our DSS guy. They went into the bush for me. I found them. But for me, it's not natural. It's spiritual. Yes, it is. It is. It is. It's spiritual. So when you see things like that, pray. That's the point I'm making. That's why I'm saying all of these things. Pray. But this is where Satan wins. We're going to see it in a moment, all right? You know, David was saying something. Let me see if I can clearly quote it. I think it's Psalm 26. Don't bother opening. We'll go back. We'll go there in a moment. Either Psalm 26 or Psalm 25. We're going to get there in a moment. Okay? All right. We're going to read it. Let me not waste time trying to get which of them now. All right? But David was saying something. Okay? Something like, have mercy upon me. Teach me your truth because of my enemies. Do you get my point? Because of my enemies. Why? You see it. The reason why that had to be said is that the way the enemies, the way Satan gets a hold is when we walk in darkness. The way Satan gets his power is when we walk in disobedience. So David said, Lord, teach me your ways because of my enemies. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I just, it's a pity that I didn't bring that scripture, on time so that we can use it, but it's there. He said, because of my enemies, I need to know the ways of the Lord. Why? Because when they come to God's judgment throne to obtain judgment against me, it has to be because of my iniquity. It has to be because of my disobedience. They can only get it if I do what is wrong in the sight of my God. So he went to God and said, please, teach me so that the enemy will come and have nothing against me. That's why our assault has to be pure. I hope you're getting my point. And that's what you do. Pray hard until you have purified yourself. There's something I wanted to say as I started. Let me get back there. And that's the fact that God loves a pure heart. What did I say?
God loves a pure
heart. That's not how I said it, though. What did I say?
God loves a pure heart.
Thank you. All right? I said with confidence. I didn't hear it from you. That's what I meant. So what did I say?
God loves a pure heart.
Yes. He loves a good heart, a pure heart. A heart, you know, Jesus looked at Nathanael, remember? He said, an Israelite indeed. In fact, there's some particular version. Let me just quickly see whether I have it here. I do have it. I wrote it down. I think it's New Living Translation. The way he described Nathanael. Aha, New Living Translation, I think. He said, now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. That's New Living Translation of John chapter 1, verse 47. Say, a man of complete integrity. He was describing Nathanael. Jesus saw him say, wow, a son, a true son of Israel. What makes him a true son is a man of what? Complete integrity. That is, when God created the nation, what he wanted were the Nathanaels of this world to come out of that nation. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, I want to say that to us again. God is looking for pure hearts. Let's open this particular portion of the scriptures and use it to continue. We're going to get into our prayer in a moment. Psalm number 24. Psalm number 24. I'm going to read about 7 verses. And we're all going to read it again afterwards. It says, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Whom he has sent into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, and has not sworn deceitfully. He said, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him. Who seek your face? Even Jacob. Let me stop in verse 6. Let me just continue reading, all right? Okay, let's just finish reading everything. Just a few verses to go. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Now, I read this mainly because of the earlier part when he said, who is the one who will ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Is he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully? God loves pure hearts. Now, when we're talking about hearts, what do we mean? Hearts, they are different from the things outside. I hope you get my point. That is what you do. The heart is why you do it. That's why I preach about money the way I do. People say, give so that God can bless you back. I said, the heart is wrong. Faith works by love. There's no love in that one. There's selfishness. If you give, God will multiply back for you. Once you are thinking of yourself, there's no love in it. Does it work? It's irrelevant. In fact, that you are so sure it works, worsens the situation. I don't know where you're getting my point. The selfishness is amplified. If you're willing to risk it, whether it works or not, at least you're safe, at least the person will be blessed. But I told you, once I was with my auntie, a man came in and told one long fabu, you know what they call fabu? One long story of how he was crossing the road and this thing happened and it's this one and everything. So anyway, what's the summary of it? In his money. So of course, I was sure he was lying. Obviously lying. So my auntie opened her bag and counted good money. You know, like, well, let's say it's today's naira now. All right, just today's naira. I can maybe just count it, 5,000 and give the person. And I was alarmed. I said, auntie, but he's... After he left, of course, I kept quiet. I said, but auntie, he's lying. He said, it's not a lie. They always tell it. That's what he told me. He said, they always lie. Did they ever tell the truth? I said, why did you give him money? He said, can't you say he's hungry? So that day, I was humble. He said, he's hungry. He said, the way I'm looking at him, his wife has not eaten today. He said, this Lagos is hard. Go and check now. The children have not eaten. All my righteousness just went down. I was weak. Because I thought you have more sense than this. Basically, you're telling me, I know. I wasn't giving to him because of his stories. I just let me feed this one. That's what I mean when I say that if you are so sure it works, it's worse. I hope you get my point. That's what I meant. So that if they say that, I come and give, say, ah. If you sow it, he said, are you sure you will reap? He said, I don't think I'll reap anything. But the other person is looking. He has not eaten. So the offering you are giving is so that he can eat. Do you know you have done more to please God than those who gave the money and this small incantation on it? Some of you want to give to God, you first do incantation. Okay, let's do. Me and you will do it one day. Maybe you come to me. Say, Pastor, please, I have money. I need money to go somewhere. Can you just give me 500 naira, and I hold it like this before I give you. Will you still collect? You don't want to do it with God. You just speak to your offering. I did that thing. You want to do incantation, use it, do it for good things. Please, brain, when you want to give an offering, drop the money and walk away. Don't turn this into a ceremony. Now, what I'm going to say is that the heart matters to God. Many of us who give offerings, our money is just a waste of time. Heaven doesn't like. You see, when you see you dancing to the altar, God says, he has come again. The angel said, but his dance is good. He said, it's because they told him that God loves a cheerful giver. And he thinks this is cheerfulness. The angel said, Lord, what are you saying? He said, just wait. Let's not bless him with anything for the next 3 weeks. Let's see what will happen. Whether it won't remind us of today. And true, after 3 weeks, say, Father, you were there that day. You know, you saw me dance. I gave a good shade. Where are you? God said, look at the angel. See, I told you. This boy is very selfish. He never gave to me. He was giving to himself. So the angel said, Lord, what do we do? So I find him food. Then they give him small food so that he will not die until he has learned the truth. See, heart matters to God. But we said something last time, let's say it again. The heart is deceptful. Which, so you know, I manufacture English. Sometimes my mouth now starts manufacturing its own. Because this one you just heard now, it's not me that said it. The heart is what? Deceitful. I said last time, it does not mean that the heart is deceived. It means that the heart connives to deceive the owner of the heart. But you'll be doing something and telling yourself, it's just because of Jesus. Jesus said, eh? It's not because of me. People are deceived. Now, the painful part is that it is not, many people are deceived. How do I say it like this? Of course, generally you don't know you are deceived. But that they did not go out to open their hearts to a lie. It is their hearts that generated the deception and deceived them. Also, you are doing it for God. And the person believes it. But God says it's not true. Yes. Yes. That is why I've been warning everybody that like to hear voices and say you are hearing God. Please stop that thing. Please, can I beg you? First, of course, I know when you go and hear another Pentecostal preacher, they will say something different to you. Let me just say my own. All right? You can hold the one you like. Okay? God does not owe you to speak through your spirit. If you like, pray. And keep quiet. You can like speak in tongues for 5 hours and then you are silent for 5 minutes. It doesn't mean you hear anything. Because you don't instruct him. You cannot command him on how he will speak. You're trying to go. You cannot command him on. There's no practice. You can't force him. If he wants to use stars to speak, that is his own. Please stop coming to harass people. The thing that the thought that dropped in your mind after you finished praying, say that's what God told you to do. It's not true. See, let me tell you the truth. It's not true. You may not know, but it's not true. After I prayed, I was not silent. So what happened? Something now comes in your heart. Now come and harass our souls with it. Don't worry us. Eh? Just you will soon know that it's not true. I don't care how much practice you have had, it is not true. Let me tell you how God talks to people. Number one, through the Bible. Scripture, that's number one. You take your scriptures and read. Beyond that, now when I say read now, don't mean just open the Bible. Like, what is this saying? Open to Psalm 1. No. On a regular basis, you fill your heart with the word of God. That word will speak up. That the one that says it will speak up, your heart will take those words, arrange them, and use it to produce a conclusion for you based on the knowledge of truth. That's number one way. Other ways he speaks, those you don't know will come and advise you. I hope you're getting my point. Those you do not know will come and advise you with the word of God. Another way he speaks, as we are preaching, a word comes and it's so clear, he's talking to you. Another way he speaks, he dreams and visions and revelations, sometimes given to you directly, sometimes given to another person. Another way he speaks, he uses credible prophets to speak into your life. I hope you're getting my point. There are so many ways. Sitting down and doing your head like this until God talks to you, is just like me also carrying a phone and calling prophets that they must tell me something. It's not every time God reveals a word to a prophet. I hope you're getting my point. Please, so let's not confuse ourselves. Why am I saying all of this? Because your heart can deceive you and speak to you and you will say, God said to me. I hope you're getting my point. There are many ways the Lord speaks to people. I've just given a number of examples. Don't let your heart lie to you. The most important, if you want to hear the voice of God clearly, is what we are doing again today. Purify your heart. You have to keep on purifying your heart. There are times you are so sure this is what God wants me to do. And God will say, no, I don't want you to do it. Lord, why didn't you speak? I spoke, but you are too deaf. Because you cannot hear better than your heart can receive. Jesus said, there are things I want to tell you. What happens? You can't bear them. You can't. So, no matter how much I shout, you know they have a saying in Africa. They said the dog that's going to get lost. What happens? It doesn't hear the whistle anymore. If you like, blow the whistle. Bingo is gone. So hearts that are blocked, God can't communicate. See, many people, God say, all right, fine. Say, God, say, okay, fine. The Lord said to him, God said, okay, fine. Go. Let him go. Let her go. In fact, let me now say it. Go that direction. I told you what God was saying. God said, hey, you see, I needed to let you go that direction. Then when you jam the wall two times, the portions of stubbornness in your heart that's not letting you hear the truth clearly, your head go clear. Are you, like they tell you, look, don't speed at night. Say the Lord my God. See, don't overspeed at night. God can do all things. Say, well, not say he can't do everything. But there are some things that are, okay, what is the speed limit in your country? I will not be bound by the laws of man. Okay. So after a while, God said, hey guys, leave him. Now get one of his friends to pray. Say, pray for your friend. Because he's going to die if you don't pray. So that one now pray. Say, Father God, have mercy upon his stubborn. That boy has been stubborn since he was in secondary school. Please help him. God said, fine. For your sake, I will spare his life. Like, let him travel. Kabolash, go ball. At night, new road. They no go to Onitsha. 140 kilometers an hour. 150. 160. Then, wham! He will climb one small piece of wood. He will stomach all across to the other side, end up inside the bush. Ride the car properly. Break just one leg and one arm. Ah, but is that not better than breaking the head? It's not better than breaking head and back. You don't see person break neck before. You don't want that one to happen. Just break one leg and one arm. And God said, come down here. Nobody's finding you till morning. Hey, no, because if they find you, you won't intercede. Now that you are there, it's 12 midnight. Nobody saw you fly into the bush. You will begin to pray, Father. Father said, have mercy on me. Say, why do you think you're still alive? It's mercy. At 5 in the morning, one man goes to the farm. We just see something there. And come, go to the road. They will now bring you out. Carry you to hospital. Carry your car. Go and dump it. You know those ones they dump at the back of police station. Somewhere, nobody. Car is gone. And I'll be in hospital. You'll be, your friend will say, I dreamed you that day. You whispered me in the dream and I said, Father. And it's not lying. It's the one that God used to keep you alive. Next time, when you now come and say, the speed limit in the country is 100 kilometers an hour. And the scripture will make sense. Subject to all authority. It is given by God to save your life. Suddenly it will make sense to you. Do you follow my point? Yeah. That's why some of us say, some of this stubbornness cannot be cured but by calamity. I say, look, this one. How do I cure? It's calamity. You have. There's no other way. They say, because they pray for him. Pray for that girl. Pray. That what? That he won't die as a result of the calamity that he's going to face. Or she's going to face. And you will pray. God said, but you can't pray with that calamity. I'm sorry. See, God loves us too much to allow us to just go through life in our stubbornness. The love he has is too plenty. So, by the way, what if I don't want to go through calamity? My wife used to have a friend those days, a preacher, American preacher on TV. The man said, you can miss that mess. So she used to call him Miss the Mess. She used to enjoy watching him on TV. The man used to shout a lot. The man said, you can miss that mess. So, two of you are is your friend too? Okay, so apparently know who it is. So you can miss that mess. My wife used to call him Miss the Mess. And she didn't used to miss his program because she wanted to miss the mess, all right? Yeah, you can miss the mess. How do you miss the mess? That's what we began to do last time. By yourself, what do? You purify your heart. Now let me say something to us again. It's a reminder. Jesus gave us a pattern for this. Open your Bibles quickly. We're beginning to pray now. Remember, God wants what? Pure heart. He loves it. He desires it. But how do you attain it? It's not by yourself, but by what? Prayer. Yes, thank you. It's with prayer. How do we attain it? It's with prayer. The Bible says clearly concerning that, about Jesus, that in the days of his flesh, how did they say? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard in that he feared. How do you save him from death? The wages of sin is what? Death. death. So you save him from sin. You save him from iniquity. You save him from an impure heart. See, Jesus needed that. He did. Why did he need it? Flesh and spirit can be what? Defiled. I mean, he's on the earth. How can you have a Judas in your life? You won't be angry. You know what Judas used to do? Money would just vanish. And you think Jesus was the first person he betrayed? That guy betrayed Philip. Philip just left him. He betrayed Peter. This will betray small betrayer. And he wouldn't, only Jesus will know who did something. You go and take something and keep it beside the pillow of John. So Peter will come and say, there was 2 denarii I kept here yesterday. Before they start searching everybody, Judas has kept it beside the pillow of John. So Peter will say, John, I beg, shift. Ah, John, what are you doing with my money? Jesus will just tell everybody, okay, everybody calm down. Calm down, everybody. No need to quarrel. No need to quarrel. Lord, how can he be accusing me wrongly? I say, calm down. Yes, sir. Listen, if normal people, if it's me, next time I want to preach, you are the one I used to preach. Those who are keeping money behind other people's pillows, the judgment of God is coming right very soon, you know. You won't face him that you'll be able to preach your message. Your spirit has been defiled. Anger. I'm just trying to say, he faced enough. You know, his own brethren will tell him that, what are you doing at home? He said, you are the Messiah. Go, they are looking for you outside. He was preaching. They said, his own brethren said he's out of his mind. Those things are enough to defile your spirit. You know, when God wants you, now this is when life, let me not say God, this one wants to tempt you. Will make your friend say something without you realizing. He say, hey, is it okay to say he's called to ministry? This world is a crazy place. How can he say he's a pastor? And this is your good friend though, who you were planning. You know, you're hoping that two of you go into business together and share everything. And he will now hold the business while you go to preach. You're not telling somebody, you now overhear it. Like Joseph said, he too is called to ministry. I think his pastor came to that's confusing him. See, he's been listening to that Pastor Banky too. I said, like somebody said, hey, it's Banky that's confusing all of them. You've not heard that before. One day, one brother was talking. He just mentioned my name. The sister jumped up. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. He has confused him. Oh, you think everybody that loves me? If everybody loves you, you're a false prophet. I'm telling you. Those are the kind of things. No, I've heard all kinds of things. It's like, God has helped me. All I do is laugh. But if you're a younger person, do you know some things will offend you? And somebody said, hey, that thing Pastor Banky is doing is not good. I said, what's Pastor Banky doing? How can he preach like this? The person came and told me that this person said that what you are doing is not good. I said, go and tell the person that they've shared this job. Me and the professor, me and the teach. That's the only answer I gave. I burst into laughter. I wasn't offended. But in this life, listen to me. If you're not careful, you'll be offended. You will be offended. You will be offended. And the only way you can prevent offense, that's what I'm talking about it. And offense is a defilement of spirit. Yeah, it's a defilement of spirit. And you know what? If you don't cleanse it, look, you will do things you did not plan. Things are not in keeping with your character. You will do them. Why? Offense is speaking. How did Jesus handle it? The Bible says that in the days of his flesh, he offered up what? Prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. Now, let me say something to us again. If you want to know about the life of Jesus, between the time he was, let's just say from his childhood, minus that small experience at the age of 12, until he came into ministry, and things he did behind. You know, you hear that he went and prayed all night. Have you heard that thing before? He rose up early before dawn, and he prayed. Do you know, the only thing, there are very few words that they recorded for us that he prayed to the Father without people being present. All the ones, the only one recorded that he prayed in the Gospels, correct me if I'm wrong, please, without people being present, all right? It's just one. I mean, is there any other one? Apart from, Father, let the cup pass over me. Nevertheless, not thy will, but yours be done. All the other prayers I know he prayed, people were there. At the tomb of Lazarus. Father, I thank you because you hear me. John chapter 17. He prayed for the disciples while they were listening. Almost every other prayer he prayed, apart from these ones I've mentioned, I'm not aware. Of course, then he prays for the sick. Of course, those ones we can't really, those ones don't count. You understand my point? But the ones that he was offering to the Father, usually people were not there. So they were not recorded for us. But you know, they are in the scriptures. Oh, they are all over the Bible. Have you ever heard this before? My God, why have you forsaken me? Do you know that's not all he said? He recited the whole of Psalm 22. There are many people who don't know that. When you hear, my God, why have you forsaken me? There's a principle there in the Jewish culture. He has some, it's like me shouting, the Lord is my shepherd. Without me saying further, you know the whole psalm. Do you get my point? When Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? We grew up, I was like that too, thinking that that was all he said. But that was not all he said. If you go to that Psalm number 22, he recited the whole psalm. So what you saw there, listed as my God, why have you forsaken me? Is the whole of Psalm 22. But the first line of Psalm 22 is what? My God, why have you forsaken me? They continued, far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I have no rest. Yet you are holy. Oh, that was what Jesus said on the cross. I heard long ago that had Jesus pray for his needs. It's now I understand that it was correct. It says Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That was how he prayed for his needs. How did he keep himself pure? He said he leads me in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. Do you get my point? You want to know how Jesus prayed? Go and read the Psalms. There are some things that David said. David didn't go through. He was repeating for us what Jesus was. It's very funny what I'm about to say. He was repeating for us what Jesus was saying. I don't want to say what he will say later. That cross experience played over a long time. In time. You think he just jumped on the cross 12 hours. He had paid for your sins. Those prayers were said, oh God, spiritually, if you want to bring out the time, it's difficult. But spiritually, it was going on. And David would hear it and write. David wants to write a song. And the Lord will say, listen. And they will listen and write what the Lord is saying. So this is a man on the earth facing trials and facing challenges. And he says, these are the wounds with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. David saw it. I hope you get my point. See, let me say something there. God helping me. We need to teach more about prayer. See, Pastor Man, you've taught a lot, not enough. And sometimes I sit down and ask myself, why do you talk like this? Because you were raised, you know, Pentecostal. You've been into this since you were in university. When you want to pray, it is righteous, it's scriptural. But everything has excesses. One major excess I find is Christians who don't know how to preach the scripture. And it's very terrible. They stay up all night. All they are doing is chokoloba, hengaba, go. It has a place. But you want to hear the truth? You can disagree with this. If that's how you pray mostly, you have not started praying. You have not started. You haven't started. You won't even know what you're concerned about. You won't know when God answers you. You have not started praying. There is no prayer that is superior with the utterance of the word of God. There's none. This was given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You want to know the truth? There is nothing you pray in tongues. If you interpret, you won't find written in scripture. If it's not written there, it's a false tongue. There is nothing you pray that's not in scripture. If it's not there, you spoke a false one. If it's a genuine tongue of the Spirit, if somebody were to interpret, we show you where it is in scripture. What am I going to say? Christians have to learn to pray the scriptures. But that night I woke up, I said, let me study my Bible. And I got to these Psalms, I think from 24. I was reading, I said, how will a Christian pray and not use this one? One major mistake we made as Pentecostals, when we're studying the word of faith, is to say that it is the New Testament that was written to us. I hope you know that is not true. It's very inaccurate. Paul said, you can report in Romans chapter 1 around verse 4, that I'm an apostle of the gospel that the prophets preached. Are you aware of that? Open it there. Verse 2, actually. I said verse 4, it's verse 2. Romans chapter 1. He said, Paul, a bond servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Where was the gospel first preached? The prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So when you hold what you call your Old Testament, I call the law, okay, which is the correct thing, the law, the prophets, and the writings. That's where the gospel is to be found. Learn to pray it. Life of Jesus Christ is documented inside there. You just need how you need to know how to decode it. You want to know the prayers he prayed? Read the Psalms. You want to be pure like he is pure? Rise to your feet and let us pray like he did. See, there is no praying, people of God, that's powerful as praying the scriptures. There is none. Did you hear what I said? You want powerful prayer? Bring your Bible out. Take the scriptures, the word of God, and see anything you find inside there. Like one of the things I want to refer to now. You know, Paul was writing in that Ephesians chapter, Acts chapter 20. He said, I have coveted nobody's silver or gold or fine clothes. It's easy to say that, me too, I have not, listen, you've not been in distress. You're never hungry. Like I said, as a pastor, man of God, it's you I'm talking to. Are you looking away like you're not a man of God? Can imagine that you have not eaten in the morning. Somebody now drove a new car that you should come and dedicate. And some people, they don't even know how to do Thanksgiving. You buy a new motor finish. You want to thank me? It's a bottle of wine. Do I look that thirsty? That's what you're thinking. Don't do that with the second these days. Next, you start preaching first fruit, because I mean, I need to see your first fruit. But some pastors will lock the tire of that car. And one day I'm going to lock somebody's tire. Like I told you, if the day you buy a plane, I'll wait till you are very rich. You go and buy a plane, you now park that in no go airport. They are spraying water. You know the way they do water. Those who know how they spray the hand. And I say, I should come and be the one to pray. I will get the Father. Hallelujah. Beautiful machine we have here. It will never fly in Jesus' name. That's the prayer I'm going to pray for you. I say, if you like, fly this thing, come over here. I say, sir, what kind of prayer is that? Where is my G-Class? You park plane here. I never see Toyota Camry for your hand. The brethren are there entering Keke. You park plane here. My friend, lock that tire. Before you fly that thing, write a check that will buy 3 Corollas, 1 bus. We'll total it. But the brethren will have a meeting and say that the money is enough. If it's not enough, we've grounded your plane and FAN is charging you by the day. Apostle, please, be honest. What I've just done is no good. You go and buy a plane and I will bless it. Before we go there, we should see 4 brethren who are driving cars there that they say you are the ones that paid for. This plane can be blessed. It can be blessed. It's going somewhere. Thank you. You know what they say, plane? You saw the one I showed you just bought now. That's causing national problem. The Lord is good. Anyway, but you get my point. So I won't do when it is small. It's when it's big. Do okay. If you are the one, just know that. All of you that are hearing, when you want to call me, you know what to do now. Abby? You know what to do. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be for me. But let me see brethren. You say, okay, you bought bus for missions. Good. We know that God is with you. And that money didn't come from Satan. Now, I've left what I wanted to preach now. Pastor, what I've said is not good. It's good, yes. Yeah, all the men of God agree. They understand. So all these boys wearing tie. Anyway, they understand. Yeah. All right. So the point I'm making is sometimes some pastors say, look, the way people have done them, it will tempt you, push. This man is not temptation, it's genuine truth. Do you follow my point? Because he's a person who, I said, should bless the brethren. Is it bad? Good. You will bless the brethren.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. In fact, your own self, there will be two planes now you go by.
Amen.
I want for you, one for us. Exactly. Thank you. Anyway, what I was saying is this. If you don't want to covet anybody's goods, it's a matter of prayer. Because sometimes pressure will make you do that which is not right. That's just where I was going with all of that. Okay? So we want to pray. All right? We want to keep ourselves pure because it's necessary so that God can bring good to our land. It is necessary so that God can do and fulfill that which he has promised. It is very necessary. What do? We take the scriptures and use it just like Jesus did to purify ourselves. Everybody, I said, should you put somewhere there? I not said it. Okay, let's begin to pray. First of all, from Psalm 26. Now, there are two, if you were, okay, I was ready with it, therefore. You know, we're talking about prayer at that time. I talk about prayer-like activities. One of them is what? Meditation. So we're going to read these Psalms together, and I give you time. You pray for yourself with the Psalms. Is that okay? So let's read 12 verses in Psalm 26. Psalm number 26. Which version do we read now? Okay, let's just read the American Standard. It's okay. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
We're reading 12 verses, okay? In fact, it's the whole psalm. The whole psalm is 12 verses. Now, one, two, let's go. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes. I have walked in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hands is a wicked scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands in a level place. In the congregations, I shall bless the Lord. Now let me just say something. When you read the scriptures, the way Hebrews talk, I hope you get my point. Sometimes you see something said as being done. Actually, two ways you look at it. One, it's done. Two, it's also a request. I hope you're getting my point. That's how it is. So when you see this, like it's a prayer. It's not a brag. The person is not bragging. Do you get my point? It's so important to understand this. It is not like he's bragging. This is the aim of this prayer. That at the end, when the Lord has examined me and tried me and I will have walked with him, this is what I will find. I do not sit with deceitful men. Do you get my point? Yeah, that's what I will find. That's what I will find. I will find out that I have walked in my integrity. You do not walk in your integrity by your own power. You walk in your integrity by the power of God. I hope you're getting my point. So now as you take this, I'm going to give you a few minutes. You are going to take these scriptures line by line. Twist it whichever way. In request, in confession, in declaration. Whichever way. This is the end of what you are going to now begin to pray. Use this scripture, the whole 12 verses. You can change the translation to the one you like, whatever it is. But begin to pray. Meditate on, you know, in this watch, meditate upon his word. Meditate, that's what we mean. You speak to the Lord, this is what I want to happen in my life. This is what I'm declaring. Lord, help me to walk in my integrity. I want to be able to say, I have walked in my integrity. That I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Lord, I ask of you, the spirit of faith, the spirit of faithfulness. Remember Nathaniel, make that life a prayer point for yourself. There's a spirit of faith, the spirit of faithfulness. Remember Nathaniel. Jesus said, an Israelite indeed, A man of complete integrity. An Israelite indeed. A man of complete integrity. See what he said. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart and my mind. God knows the truth. What is he saying? Reveal it to me. Everything is clear to the Lord. We know that. It's revelation that he's here asking for. Why does God need to reveal your heart to you so you can confess it away? So, for your steadfast love is before my eyes. Help me, Lord, to walk in your faithfulness. I confess before your throne that I will not sit with men of falsehood. Empower me to fulfill this word. Nor do I consult with hypocrites. That will never be my portion. I hate the assembly of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. Now you are saying these things is a way of consecrating yourself in the Lord's presence. I shall wash my hands in innocence. And I will go about your service. That's it. These are the things you say, Lord, for this cause I came to this hour. I go about your service. That's how we pray. Christ, brethren, pray before the Lord. This is how you purify your heart. This is how you purify your life. Oh Lord, make me love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not sweep me away with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands are evil devices, and whose right hands are full of bribes. Cause me, O Lord, to walk in my integrity. As for me, I shall walk in my integrity. I'm activating the power of God. It's called grace. Lord, deliver me from the things that distract. Be gracious unto me, so that my foot will stand on level grounds. In the great assembly, I will bless your name. It's important. That is how Christians pray. That is how Christians pray. Oh, that is how Christians pray. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Quickly, open to Psalm 27. We're just going to take that one from verse 7 and read 8 verses there. Are you there?
Yes.
Are we ready? Okay, everybody should be there now. All right? One, two, let's go. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart, take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Now, you are going to do something now. You are going to do just like we did before. See that verse I was looking for earlier. Have you seen it there? It said, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me. Why did he say, teach me your way? Because without that, you are, you know, Satan will have something in you. I hope you're getting my point. That's a concept. When the foes, this is a spiritual principle. When your foes come against you, please understand this. They are the real foes of life. They are not the people that you see physically that make noise. The real foes have gone to obtain judgment against you before the judgment throne of God. Those are the real fools. You watch all kinds of movies and some of these things. Some of them, a little bit of truth in them, but spiritual things do happen. It is petition against you that they take before God. He said there are false witnesses. There's a false witness like that in the scriptures. Satan, what did he say concerning Job? He said he's serving God for what he will get. You know, if he's many Pentecostals today, that would not be a false witness. That would be true witness. But that's what they call a false witness. Because Satan does not know as much as we think he does. Sometimes he misjudges our actions too. So what is he saying? Lord, when he comes, let him be false. I don't know. Are you getting my point? Yes. Time will not allow me to go into details on how to make him false. There are two ways. One, God will give you the truth. You must obey it. The ones he has not revealed to you, Jesus intercedes and covers that. That are the two ways. Nobody does everything perfectly. But God works with you like this. He unveils truth to you line by line. Anyone he has revealed, you must obey. Do you get my point? See, ignorance is a major cover if you're a true believer in Christ Jesus. And I don't mean negligent ignorance. It's not yet their ignorance. Negligent ignorance is that the time you're supposed to know, you refuse to know, you're too busy here and there, you're not learning. That's what I mean by negligent ignorance. But God is mindful that we are but flesh, so there are things you don't know yet. So he will not judge a 5-year-old the way he will judge a 20-year-old. That's why I look at some people. He said, all right, judgment is for those who are 20 years and above. Some of them, they were smart in school. They thought they were good, you know. But they were only 17. So you're just talking nonsense. So I'll look at it like that. We can't take the land simply because your father was saying it. Do you follow my point? Yeah. But let's focus on this. The point we're making here is this. He said, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path. What does that mean? Direct me, empower me to do that which is right. Why? Because if I don't, when the enemies come against me, they will have accusations against me that will be successful. That's what it means. Now everybody, you have a few minutes. Start from the beginning and use it and pray like Jesus did. Let's start from verse 7, remember. Begin to pray. Hear, O Lord, I cry with my voice. Be gracious to me and answer me. You said, seek my face, Lord. Right now my heart is saying to you, your face I shall seek. In all that I do, let me see your face. Lord, I declare, your face I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Give me understanding, I shall live. Give me understanding, I shall live. Lord, if I have offended you, have mercy. Do not turn your servant away in anger, because you are my God, you are my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me. You are the God of my salvation. I pray like that. Even though everybody else may forsake me, my father, my mother, my friends, my brothers, they may forsake me. But the Lord will not forsake me. Lord, I give myself over to you. Be my God. Be the one that my eyes are on all the time. As a servant's eyes are upon the master. As a maid's eyes are upon the mistress. My eyes are on you, O Lord. My eyes are on you. Teach me your way, O Lord. Give me understanding and I shall live. Lead me in a level path. Let my enemies not have anything to say against me. The prince of this world is coming. Lord, may he have nothing in me. I do business in the markets. Let me not be covetous. Lord, as you have created me in righteousness and holiness of the truth, let it work out itself in my life. Let me speak truth without wavering. Let me not cheat anybody in all that I do. That's how we pray, Christians. We are dedicating ourselves. These prayers are prayers of supplication and dedication at the same time. Let them all be false who come before your judgment throne to petition against me. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. But no matter the pressures, no matter the temptations, let my eyes be fixed on you, knowing that I will see the goodness of the Lord as I walk in righteousness in the land of the living. I say to my soul, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. I say to my soul, yes, wait for the Lord. You have 2 more minutes. Just go over the different scriptures. Some people, some of these scriptures will be stronger in your heart than others. Focus on that. Say, Lord, help me to seek your face. Make your presence sweet to my soul. Make the scriptures sweet to me. Give me understanding. So that as I read your word, it will be sweet to my soul. So that it will be sweet to my soul. So it will be sweet to my soul. Do not hide your face from me. Don't hide understanding from me. Don't hide insight from me. Thank you, Father. Just give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you because indeed you hear me. Lord, I thank you because indeed you hear me. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Let's quickly open to Psalm 51. Same thing we are doing now. Psalm 51. Psalm number 51. See, there is no way to do anything right in life but by employing the power of God. It's not plenty reading that makes you wise. It's when God gives you what? Understanding. When he gives you wisdom. So what you do all the time is to pray. And it's out. See, please read your Bible. What did I say?
Read your Bible.
Anything you see inside the scripture that is good, just ask the Lord. Confirm this in my life. I ask you in the name of Jesus. Like I was talking about Nathaniel. The number of things I've seen like that. Say, an Israelite indeed. A man of complete integrity. Do you know if you ask God to do it for you, he'll do it for you. If your name started out as Jacob, you will end up as Israel. It's just for us to desire the most important things in life. That's it. It's just for us to desire the most important things in life. That day I was reading, Paul said, I have not coveted anybody's silver or gold or apparel. I have not coveted anybody's things. I said to myself, Lord, please, let me not. I didn't say, you know, Lord, me, I'm not like that. Forget what I'm like. It's what I must never be, I was discussing. I said, Lord, I like this testimony. Make it mine. I ask you in the name. After, look, if we ask for the right things, you'll be amazed at how God answers prayers. If we ask for the right things, you'll be amazed. But we spend faith on mundane and then be fighting enemies that are not fighting us. My auntie, my uncle, those who don't want me to prosper. I saw one joke yesterday, I laughed. It was one of these boys that put on their status. One man was sitting there inside the Rolls Royce. Motor almost killed him. He called his uncle, said, Uncle, the motor is not my own. And the African man. Brethren, forget that. That is foolishness. That's a joke. That's not real life. That's not real life. That is not right. We waste time on those things. The real prayer should be between us and our God. I hope you're getting my point. Psalm 51. Let's read it. It's a long one, but we are going to read everything. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Want to let's go? Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my sin and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being. And in the hidden parts you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I will give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, David wrote this after the experience with Bathsheba, after Nathan the prophet had come to give him the word of God. Let me just say this one. Please, just a minute. Let me just teach something briefly. 2 minutes. No, nothing new, just to remind us. That David sinned, it didn't surprise God, though. In fact, God was the one that was keeping him from sin for a very long time. That day, they just left him because he was feeling good with himself. He didn't know how bad a person he was. I hope you're getting my point. Now, but the good thing about David was that he never made any excuse. As soon as Nathan rebuked him, he repented. If they correct you and you get angry, you know what the Bible says? You will soon be destroyed without remedy. I've seen people like that. Maybe me too, if I was like that. I used prayer to deliver myself from being like that. Why did you park your car here? If you guys were going to, if you knew you were going somewhere, why did you let me park here? It's a very stupid statement, right? But people make it. People make it every day. According to fella those days, he said, you jam person, he said, why did you hit my leg? Person, why did you put your leg on the road? Didn't you see I was coming? That is how to be destroyed. One prayer you have to pray for yourself, eh? That God, please help me to accept correction. He said, he that is often rebuked and yet hardens his heart. He said, that person will be what? Destroyed without remedy. He said, you pray to 1 minute. Say, Lord, please don't let me harden my heart when I'm rebuked. See, even if you are wrongly rebuked, just be quiet. Just collect it. The person rebuking you is not going to eat you. If he's wrong, you've gained nothing. You've lost nothing, I wanted to say. But if he or she is right, you've gained everything. So you shout too much. Say, me that I don't talk. There's no need to argue. Just be silent. Say, thank you. Go home. Lord, do I really shout like that? And if you are not the person, it's a mistake. You have not lost anything. You don't need to prove that you are right to any individual. That was what saved David's life, oh. I said, don't make excuses for disobedience. Please, don't make excuses for disobedience. Later on, God helping me, I'll talk about sons of disobedience. Don't make excuses for disobedience. Because it's so important. It is what God punishes is lack of, like, refusal to accept correction. That is what God punishes. If Saul had knelt down and told Samuel, I am sorry. Please pray to the Lord for me, I'm sorry. Told all the men, oh yeah, gather all the animals you took, slaughter them and burn them right there. The Lord will have forgiven him. His throne will have been established. When he was arguing, that was when he was destroyed. So in David's case, he accepted and the Holy Spirit came upon him and he wrote this psalm. You may not have killed Bathsheba, Uriah or taken Bathsheba. There are different things you may have done. John referred to this, say, if we shall confess our sins. So it's New Testament. Some say Christians should not confess their sins. I've heard it before. A Christian is not supposed to ask for forgiveness. Oh, I don't know the Bible you read, though. Call it anything, just confess your sin. And trust God to forgive you. Let's leave it like that. So take this psalm. We're going to end with this one because of time. Take your Bible again. And begin to meditate with this psalm. Take it line by line. You have to be quick this time. Jump to the ones that's most relevant to you because I want us to close shortly. Pray with the psalm. Say, be gracious to me, O God. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Have mercy upon me. According to your compassion, forgive my sins. You've promised. I confess this sin, the one that God has brought to you. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity by the blood of Jesus. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and so cleanse us of all unrighteousness. It's a promise also. It's there in the New Testament. Say, Lord, I've jumped to verse 6. You desire truth in the innermost being. And the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Lord, cause me to know wisdom. The right thing to do in the depths of my heart. The Bible says, cleansing the church with the washing of water by the word. So verse 7 is very New Testament. Very, very New Testament. Purify me with the hyssop and I shall be clean. That is revelation. The word. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. He said, fools, because of their transgressions, they are afflicted. Say, Lord, whatever be the affliction that has come into my spirit, into my life because of my transgressions, let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Let them be healed. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. It's very New Testament. Yes, we are born again in our spirit, but it can be defiled. Lord, let that defilement be cleansed. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Yes, I'm saved. But that joy is lost because of iniquity. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Verse 15 says, O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. Open my lips that my mouth will declare your praise. I offer the sacrifices of God, which is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Thank you, Father. Give the Lord thanks for today. Say, Lord, thank you. This life will be pure. That's the idea. Say, Lord, all of this prayer today, all this teaching we have done today is so that we may present to you a pure heart. Lord, just say the Lord that every word I've heard today, all the prayers I prayed is so that I may present to you a pure heart. So that I may present to you a pure heart. I want you to look at me and say, a true Christian in whom there is no guile. So this one is serving me with the right attitude. This one is preaching the gospel with the right attitude. This one is doing everything he or she is doing with the right heart. A true Christian in whom there is no deceit.
Let's thank the Lord for this evening. Let's give the Lord thanks that we came and is working in our hearts, purifying our hearts, presenting us blameless. Remember I said he will present you blameless before the Father. Let's thank God for that promise. Let's thank God for that promise that we will be presented blameless. The Lord is cleansing our hearts of all defilements. Defilement of our thoughts, of our actions. Let's thank the Lord. Again, the blood of Jesus comes to mind. It makes it very possible for us as Christians to be cleansed. And there is power in that blood. There's cleansing power in that blood. Give the Lord thanks for the word that you've heard this evening. The Father, thank you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. You know, it's always a good thing when we share fellowship like this. Trust me, as Pastor was teaching, your heart was being sanctified. Because according to John 17:17, it says, sanctify them with the word. Thy word is truth. The process is ongoing. We're being cleansed. We're being cleansed. Lord, we thank you for the fellowship that we share this evening, that we've shared this evening. We thank you for your word. We thank you for encouraging our hearts. We thank you for healing us, both in our soul and physically. Thank you for your servant that you have used to bring the word of life to us this evening. Thank you for boldness to teach the truth. We bless your name forever. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Shall we share the grace in fellowship? Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the cross into the blessing. All things are passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and we walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit. and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Be prophets to two persons. Say, this is your season. Spirit and of the power of God. One more person. This is your season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And prophesy to yourself. This is my season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Share, brethren.